Well, we're going to say welcome to the day in IndyCar on the Marshall Group podcast, presented by Cooper Tires, and also supported this month by Bell Racing Helmets USA. Robin Miller, here we are after two practice sessions and qualifying for the Indianapolis Grand Prix, and you and I have the look of perplexed people. Why? Well, we're not surprised Will Power's on pole, but you look at the rest of the Fast Six, and it's a little weird. Those who aren't in the Fast Six, that's really weird. So,
which is kind of why I did a radio show with Mario this afternoon, and I just said what I really like about what's happened in IndyCar racing in the last couple of years is you never know what's going to happen at a race, and I think that's probably the best thing. You know, you watch a Formula One race, and for the last couple of years, a Mercedes doesn't break or crash into each other, they're going to win the race, and now it's maybe them and Ferrari, whereas today, yeah, you had two Penske cars in the top six, but you had two Schmidt Peterson cars, you had Dale Coyne, and you had good old Ed Carpenter Racing, which is pretty damn cool. And I just think that, you know, when we interviewed Jordan King, you're a tenth of a second. Oh, you just look at this lineup. You're a tenth of a second either way, and you're either fourth or 16th. So, I mean, it's never been this close, and it's never been this competitive, I don't think. And, you know, Power just, for whatever reason, brother, he owns this joint.
Power just did a power.
Yeah,
he just went out last.
When that was his last lap, the one he got when we were
walking down. But again, That's the only thing that wasn't a surprise. But there's literally one thing that didn't surprise us.
Right, that didn't surprise us. It's like Dixon winning at Mid Ohio or Watkins Glen. That wouldn't surprise you.
But there's a Dixie surprise here to talk about in a second. But before we get there, I get to say this for the very first time. This May, Robin Miller, the Marshall Pruitt podcast is being supported by our friends at Bell Racing USA. That's on top of our friends at Cooper Tire that are with us for the entire year. Proven since 1954, Bell helmets have been the choice of champions when it comes to state-of-the-art head protection, something you have needed many times throughout your career.
I was a Bell helmet. I was an unofficial Bell helmet rep in 1975, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80.
Test dummy for decades?
No, when I was racing midgets in USAC, Bell would give me free tear-offs and free shields to give to the midget sprint car guys because they couldn't get them.
Yeah.
And then they gave me an order pad, and guys could buy helmets for 50% off. So it was Bill Simpson didn't speak to me for a couple of years, but that's okay.
You said those are some of your happiest
years
of your life.
But, I mean, I went to the Bell Helmet Factory in Norwalk, Connecticut, and it was by far watching them test all the helmets. And I used to say to the Unsers, they wore a Premier helmet. I said, what's wrong with you guys? You're getting $25,000 to wear a Premier helmet? Bell's clearly the best helmet there is and still is.
That's why I sat down with our friend Mr. Andretti earlier today for a little feature podcast that will be coming out here soon. But we'll close off here by saying, designed for professionals and amateur drivers, Bell's synonymous with safety, innovation, performance, and engineering excellence, which I think you just kind of said in a less formal way.
Well.
And to learn more, because we know you need to learn more, Mr. Miller, about Bell helmets, visit bellracing.com. With all that said, my friend, Scott Dixon, I know that when you and I came in today, we said, oh, yeah, he's going to qualify 18th. Of course. He is going to be marginally ahead of Zachary Clayman DeMello. Another thing. No, you're shaking your head. We didn't predict that. Ed Jones, P15, great for Ed. It seems like the Ganassi boys. And we're getting a drive-by by Jerry Hildebrand, boys and girls.
Hi, buddy.
Our little podcast.
How are
you? Look at that. You got your hair in the little semi bun.
You can't. You can't see it.
That is 420 Hildebrand right there. You did get a chance to speak with some folks. We can't necessarily name all the folks that you spoke with, but you did at least get some intel about what went wrong, maybe on the Ganassi.
They just said they haven't unloaded one time all year good at the racetrack, and thankfully they've raced good. They said, but they just. And Dixon said on the PA system, man, you know, we just struggle with the heat, and we haven't been fast all day, and we missed it. So we took a big swing at it in qualifying, and obviously that didn't work. So I think when you're as good as Dixon has been, and you're always used to winning, I mean, Ganassi's team hadn't led a lap this year, Marshall. They have not led a lap.
Wow.
They have one podium, Ed Jones at Long Beach. Scott had to come from 17th to 4th at Phoenix. He was going to finish on the podium at Long Beach until he got hosed by the yellow, and it's probably some poor strategy. But, you know, we're used to seeing a guy like that dominate races or lead races or be up front all the time. And there just seems to be – the thing that makes it a story is it's the same people.
I know.
Same engineers, same mechanics, same team. They're just – for whatever reason. And then you see a guy like Jordan King who's never seen this place before. He misses almost the whole first practice session because he doesn't have any breaks, and he ends up fifth.
First stage of quality. Yeah, it is a bit bizarre. I mean, if we look at the Ganassi team in particular, they've obviously reduced, cut themselves in half size-wise. In terms of changes, we have seen Todd Malloy move on to Schmidt-Peterson, and they're obviously in wonderful shape. Julian Robertson, who's has been the longtime Ganassi technical director, he's now race engineer for Ed Jones. I'm not saying any of those things I just mentioned explain, but it does make me think that while these are the same people, this might be a different recipe than they've worked from or found success with for however many years. So maybe there's something in there that there's still kinks they're ironing out. But bottom line, here on a road course, when Ganassi's two cars are 15th and 18th, and the slowest of the two is a four-time champ who we know is one of the best in the world, it's just bizarre.
It is. It's one of the mechanics said, "Grab a toolbox." I said, "No, you don't need to grab a tool."
No.
You know, they're like, it basically it's like it sounds like we've tried a lot of different things and nothing's working right now. So they've got the warm up session tomorrow to try and figure it out.
I don't know if you consider this something to be happy about. We saw that our friends at AJ Foyt Racing and Tony Kanaan in particular was looking fairly racy. He'll start 12th, so we could say, at the bottom of the fast 12. But, by and large, we weren't even talking about AJ Foyt Racing last year outside a very limited number of events. Now we kind of have a reason to pay attention when we do road course racing with them because they're making us pay attention. Again, and it's 12th. It's not the pole, but it seems like they're just continuing to make steady progress, at least with TK. Mateus Lace is 21st, so, the rook there still has some.
Yeah, and he was so strong at St. Pete, so I think we all figured he was going to be up there again. And, Kanaan's, he's waiting on 2 weeks. I mean, the Indy 500 was he's going to be all about. And that's all AJ cares about is how they run an Indy. And they had a good test. Obviously, they were the fastest in the test with the toe and without a toe, so they'll be tough. But when I look at the qualifying lineup, we've just kind of come to we were talking about it earlier today. The old days, if Dale Coyne ran in the top 15, it was a story. And now you expect them with Sebastian Bourdais to be in the fast six and challenge for a win everywhere you go. And that's such credit to Craig Hampson and Mike Cannon and Dale Coyne and Bourdais and everybody.
Seb was actually not angry outwardly, but angry with himself because he said his car was perfect. I mean, he said, "I should have had pole position." He made a mistake in the second round of qualifying and made a mistake in the final round in the fast six. And he said that mistake was just enough to make him third instead of on pole. But to your point, that mistake left Seb with a 1 minute 9.94 second lap. Wickens in P2, 109.90. Will Power, 109.81. I mean, Will Power's monstrous talent. Yeah. Oh, my God, he's the pole master by a tenth, barely
right.
Even a tenth.
Right.
And it's just
over 2.39 miles and 14 corners, and that's why it's so, And, again, we should never take things for granted, but, like, Robert Wickens has been so good everywhere we've gone. He starts second, and you're like, yeah, okay, what's kind of what we, it's like his expectations. Yeah, his expectations are, he ran a Formula BMW race here and won it in 2006 or 7,
clearly,
something like that.
That's the reason he had all that experience.
I mean, all 10 years ago or 12 years ago. But defending champ Joseph Newgarden, sixth quick. So obviously he'll be heard from. Pagenaud's won the race twice, seventh quick. It's just, and Rossi's probably that's probably one of the big surprises is he's starting eighth. And
how about Piggott as well? I mean, I know that of the ECR, that Carpenter Racing Twins, King was the big story, and as a rook, it's good to see Spencer starting ninth. His more experience, he's still a pup, but good to see Spencer have a relatively positive qualifying as well in P9.
Well, and he needs to have put the whole good weekend together. He was in the top five or six in practice this morning, and did a little radio show with Ed Carpenter before qualifying. He's like, "Yeah, we're getting closer." And he's just, I said, "Does he, does he get tense up for qualifying or anything? Because he practiced. He was really good at Barber in the top five in practice. So he needed to be in the top. It's a good step, first step. He's in the top 12. He's starting ninth, and we know he's a good racer, and he's going to go forward. So it's just, there's just a lot of interesting things about what this race should be. As good as this car is raced on road courses and street courses, we've only got one oval to look at it, but it's clearly been a better car as far as passing goes on road courses and street courses. Why, I don't know, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I mean, spoke with Power after his pole, and we're talking about tomorrow, which we'll close on here in a moment, and the race itself, but he definitely said the biggest difference from last year's aero kit to this one that he's feeling here is just the extreme reduction in turbulence. He said last year, man, if you could see a car in front of you, we're not talking about a tow so much. We're talking about, you know, shaking the front end of the car and taking robbing front and downforce, and the car sliding all over the place. He said, now, you know, we don't have that as much. So thankfully, not only do you get a better tow, but also the front of the car is more stable. So when we start talking about Indy 500, again, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, and we want to keep these daily podcasts short. But I've heard from a number of people who are afraid the 500 could be a pack racing-ish, but we'll find out. But this should, in theory, help some folks coming off the final corner on the long front straight for the Indy GP, Robin, and even onto the back straight here. I think we'll see folks towing up a little bit more, maybe a little bit easier passing.
Maybe. Yeah.
Let's talk about two more surprises in qualifying, because again, this is the Indy GP was all about surprises here. It was great to see Elio P10, which was nice, but two surprises for me really left over. Ryan Hunter Ray P13, based on his pace this morning, I didn't think that was going to be what happened. And then Graham Rahal P17. Which one of those two do you think their qualifying position matters least? I would lean towards Rahal, because it seems like that kid could win from yesterday.
Well, look, if he ends up winning the championship, he's tied for third now with Bourdais, I think. But you think about this: at St. Pete, he slams into Piggott, right, and he goes to the back. Did he have to drive through maybe, or had to go to the back or something like that? So he ends up finishing second because he obviously got a break at the end. He starts 12th at Phoenix, runs 9th. That was kind of a whole hum day. Long Beach, he actually qualified in the fast six, punts Pagano, gets a drive-through, comes all the way back and finishes fifth. And then Barbary starts 15th and then winds up seventh. So
he's the king of the recovery drive.
He is.
Just imagine if he didn't have to recover.
That's what I'm saying. If he hasn't put a whole good weekend together yet, as far as Long Beach was close because he qualified in the fast six, but as far as start to finish, practice qualifying in the race, and he's third, tied for third in points. So I say I'm with you. He's the guy that's going to make some moves tomorrow. But Hunter Ray is another guy that you just thought, okay, they finally had a good race at Barber, and this thing's all coming together, and he was fast. But like he said, something about, was it two? I wrote down one of his quotes.
Barber was the aquaplaning into the wall part, which kind of derailed his race performance.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But
okay, well, let's use that as a little pivot here towards the end, Mr. Miller. Speaking of, we watched a meteorologist on TV today tell us that it's going to be scorching hot on Saturday and potential for huge thunderstorms as well. Any thoughts on what we might see?
I just hope no, but I really don't. You know, sometimes we used to pray for rain at road courses and street courses because you're like, oh my God, nobody's ever going to pass anybody. And nowadays, it's like, you know what? No. He finished second at Barber Marshall.
I thought we were talking about Power.
Sorry, Hunter Ray.
I'm drunk.
Because he was like, after that, he's like, man, you know, maybe we're getting this thing going now. But I mean, he misses the fast. He missed the fast six by 0.02 of a second or something like that. But he's always going to be another guy that you got to contend with. It's just that, as far as this race goes, I realize that the pole guy won it 3 out of 4 times, and Penske's won all four of them.
Yeah.
Pagano 2 and Power 2. So
Schmidt won one with Pagano, but yeah.
Oh, that's right. With Pagano, that's right. Cham won one. So, you know, I just think, again, it's you have to say Power's the favorite, but you never know what might happen. It's just that, man, if anybody deserves to win a race right now, it's Wickens, I think.
Absolutely. I don't think anyone would be grumpy here.
No.
Looking at my little dark skies weather app, Rob, and currently it says there's a 22% chance of rain starting in and around 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Great.
This race starts at, what, 9 o'clock p.m.?
It starts like about midnight.
Yeah, 3:40, 3:50 or so. I asked Power if he had any concerns about starting next to Wickens, right? You know, not that Robert would be dangerous, but just not something that Power has done before, I believe. And then also having the old man Bourdais behind him, he said, no, I'm totally happy and confident about what might happen going into turn one. Any concerns you see about getting through the opening part of the race?
Well, we've had a crash on every... Have we had a crash every time they started this
Just
race?
About.
So, you know,
something
always happens. I mean, it's just when you're going that fast and you're eight wide, you know, and you're trying to figure out who's going to go in. It's just, I thought Jordan King had a pretty good line when you asked him about the first turn in our video with him. This ain't a race that's won in the first couple laps. This ain't even won in the first half of the race.
Yeah.
So, it's easy to say that, but it's another thing when you know. I just remember Greg Moore starting at Portland. He'd never started 18th before in anything.
Yeah.
And he launched himself over about five guys. And afterwards he said, I didn't really know what to expect at the start. He goes, I guess I got a little aggressive. But so, you know, who's going to get aggressive tomorrow? You know Kanaan will be aggressive. You know Sato will be aggressive.
Ray Hall's got some ground to make.
But
up.
I think the guy that's really becoming aggressive is Rossi, and he starts eighth. I'd keep your eye on him.
That's a great point to close on. I don't want to say this has been quiet because he was obviously quick to open things up this morning. But, yeah, I might like that. That might actually – well, you just mentioned that because that's who you're planning to bet on, huh? You just tipped your hand. I think you might have something there in Rossi. I think that might be the little silent stalker tomorrow.
Well, and he's been on top of things on what it doesn't matter if it's ovals or if it's road courses or street courses. I mean, he's leading the point standings for a reason. Sorry, he's second in the point standings for a reason.
Hey,
Joseph Newgarden.
We'll make him lead for that at least.
We don't know.
All right, I know I've
we'll
said
just ramble.
We're closing more than once here, but
we're getting tired. You got to sleep.
No. We got one thing we cannot close without talking about. Colton
Herta. I tell you what, I don't cheer for people, but I cheered for him today watching this race because he got blocked so bad going down the straightaway.
Borderline dirty.
It was
not
real dirty. And you know,
dirty.
Like you don't race people like that. And he made one of the great passes on the outside to take the lead, and then he walked him
after falling back at the start,
like
fifth or something like that. Motored forward. The guys who were leading took off. I mean, it wasn't as if he was in the mix the first couple laps.
Right.
He had a long
and he came storming back. And you know what? He needs that because Pato O'Ward he's a hell of a competitor and a hell of a driver.
But Colton made a statement today
about where there's
heat to be shared.
Because he went by him on his way to the front. And once he got the lead, see ya. So good for him. And George Michael Steinbrenner, they picked up a sponsor with Bob Bondurant today to help
Absolutely.
Him the rest of the season. That's kind of cool. So good for Colton Herta. And, you know, people go, yeah, they only got seven cars. But you know what? Aaron, tell us, there's really some real
five of the seven guys
are really badasses.
And that's the thing. You could, I mean, last year, if we had 14 cars, there were five badasses.
Right.
So I realize it looks bad.
Right.
Right? Not having as many cars. But we're not talking about the field being weak. It's only two drivers who routinely just fall back. But, you know, there are five young beasts up front doing good work. All right, well, you're yawning, which is going to set me off to yawning because I got about 2 hours
of sleep. No, you got 2 hours of sleep, which is... an hour and a half more than you usually sleep.
Yeah, that's
so try and get out of here by midnight then, okay?
No, I'm going to
I'm
going to go write a story or two that I'm going to get out of here. I haven't eaten today either, because other than the donut you gave me this morning. I know, I'm really smart and taking care of myself like I promised. I know, I'm an idiot. All right, well,
all right.
This is the first day in IndyCar. Holy crap.
First
we're
day in IndyCar.
These.
What do you call these?
Well, we normally do
we
our
do
weekend,
the week in IndyCar.
Right? But
right.
We're going to do these daily kind of 15
well,
minutes or so.
Well, it depends on what you pay me, but I'll probably do them. I might.
I will bring Pepsi and bubble gum.
Hawaiian Punch is a new drink, buddy.
Ooh, you're on a Hawaiian Punch. Good
well,
man.
I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
thanks for listening.
For listening to the Day in IndyCar, the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires, and also...
Bell Helmets.
Bell Helmet. William Power.
Yeah.
Quick like a bunny today. Tell me about your pole lap here for the Indianapolis Grand Prix. How special was it? How much in or out of control were you?
It was pretty much everything I had. It was just mistake-free. first lap was a big mistake, and then my actual second sector was quicker than my new tire run. So I was like, we got the time in this car on used tires to do it. And I didn't know if it'd even stick. I didn't even know what P1 was at the time. I just went out and did my absolute best and looked at the pylon driving down pit lane. I was still P1. I'm like, man, I hope that sticks.
Tell us a little bit about that, because you have to be locked in, right? You can't be looking at the sky and everything else. You really do have to be focused. Do you want your team over the radio telling you where you're at, if people are moving up or down in the fast six, or do you just kind of want to get it done and then look?
No, I think you just got to – I've actually got it on my dash what position you are, but all you can do is your best, right? Like, it does not matter where anyone else is. You got to get the most out of yourself. So you can't – it doesn't even matter what the other times are. If you're thinking about that, you're thinking about the wrong thing. So very focused on the job and – just nail it, and then when you stop the pitch, you can think about that.
So for fans who are coming out to watch the race tomorrow that might have been here last year or watched it on TV, what do you think they might see? Is this new Universal Aero kit? I'm asking questions, listeners, that Will and I have discussed already, so I apologize. But for those who maybe don't know, how might this new aero kit with a lot of things removed, a little bit of a downforce difference, how might that affect what we see tomorrow for the race?
It is a lot easier to follow. Like last year, if you could see a car, you started to feel it, and it would upset the start being on top of the road and lose quite a bit of grip. So
the turbulence was something that was actually
was really
following
bad. Yeah.
really hard last
yeah.
year.
Yeah, yeah. So it's unbelievable how different that is now. Draft isn't quite as big, but I think there'll be mistakes, and I think that you will be able to I think there'll be tire degradation, and just the fact that you can follow so much closer, it'll be better racing.
Tell me a little bit about the Chevy side of the equation. Seems like, I mean, we saw at Barber in a natural terrain road course, meaning, you know, a proper one, not just maybe flat like we have here, but we've seen here again. It's not like there's big margins to Honda, but it seems like Chevy's on their game.
Yep, we've definitely found horsepower and drivability, and I mean Chevy's worked hard. I think we've got good engines. Feel like we're right where Honda is, and I think we knew last year we were lacking a little bit in that area.
But it seems like that's not even a topic this year.
It's not even a topic, no. I mean, these guys are the best in the business, and when we are at a disadvantage, they quickly find what they need to find, and they have.
Last question for you. You've got Robert Wickens alongside you. You've got Jordan King back a little bit. Got a couple rookies here in the Fast Six.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd call them true rookies in terms of experience, overall career experience, but at least here they're still learning. Any concerns or thoughts about trusting this Wickens guy next to you, or do you think he's shown us so far that, hey, this guy's one of us?
Yeah, he's a very experienced racer. He's won in everything, open wheelers, DTM. He's not really a rookie, you say. I mean, experience-wise, he's obviously as experienced as I am, basically. And, and he's learning IndyCar, which obviously hasn't taken him long. But, yeah, he's a championship contender. So, it's like all of us. We want to get the points. And
Old man Bourdais there, too? What, directly behind you, I believe?
Yeah, Bourdais is obviously one of the best in the business.
This isn't going to be easy, brother. I don't think you're cruising home tomorrow. You have some real animals behind you.
It's every week. Every week you're racing these guys. I mean, you look at Bourdais, what he does with the resources that Coyne has, it's pretty amazing.
Your catering budget is bigger than their annual budget.
They do a phenomenal job. They do. And there's just those teams through the whole pit lane now. There isn't really anyone there that you could say that wouldn't be able to win a race.
Yeah. Well, Power, thanks for being my first guest on the Daily Marshall Pruitt Podcast at the Indy 500 Indy GP event.
Yeah.
Might bug you again, and thanks again to Cooper Tires and also Bell Racing Helmets USA for supporting us. And I'd normally give you our usual greeting and farewell, but
probably shouldn't.
We would get fined by IndyCar, but congrats again, mate.